The Armed Forces Radio Service presents the FBI in Peace and War.
Tonight's story, A Criminal Proposition.
Gave him a strong sedative last night when the police brought him in. He was in pretty bad shape.
Nerves, huh?
Yes, he's evidently been under a terrible strain for a long time. And after what happened last night, here we are.
He'll be able to talk?
Oh, yes, yes. In fact, it'll be better for him if he does. Go ahead, Mr. Shipman. Mr. Donner?
My name's Walter Donner. Police are looking for me. I received $25,000 as my share.
Mr. Donner.
Yes?
This is Mr. Shepard of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You want to talk to him, don't you?
Yes, but... Well, the Donner...
I believe you, Mr. Donner. Doctor?
I'll be back in half an hour.
Thank you.
Oh, if you need me, just press that buzzer next to the bed.
I will. Thanks, Doctor.
Nobody believes me. When I tried to tell them last night they gave me sleeping powders, they wouldn't listen.
I'll listen, Mr. Donner. You can tell me.
I'm so sick of hiding. I'm so sick of being somebody else. I'm glad it's over. It's been such a long time.
2 years.
2 years, 2 months. I never had a minute's peace, not one single minute. I even hated to see the money after a while.
You never thought of going to the police before this?
How could I? I was in too deep. I just couldn't.
When did the whole thing start, Mr. Donner? Just before you and your wife disappeared?
Yes.
January 1947.
No, a month or so before that, when they first made me the proposition.
They?
The partners, Mr. Ballard and Mr. Ferris.
They made you a proposition?
Yes.
Do you want to tell me about that?
Yes, I do. I want to tell you everything.
All right, Mr. Donner.
They made me the proposition in Mr. Ballard's office sometime in November 46. I didn't know then that the company was in such a dangerous position financially. I guess they were so desperate they were willing to take a chance on anything. I remember distinctly how Mr. Ferris looked that afternoon, so frightened. But Mr. Ballard, he wasn't afraid at all. I remember he said to me,
"Sit down, Walter. We want to talk to you about a nice long vacation."
And when he was through talking about that vacation, I realized he had actually offered me a criminal proposition in return for $25,000 in cash and $800 a month as long as I lived. At first, I couldn't believe what I'd heard.
I know it's a bit startling, Walter. But you go home and think it over and give me your answer whenever you're ready.
$25,000 cash and $800 a month as long as I live. Yeah.
And they send us a check for $800 every month?
Though we'd have to go someplace out west, change our names. Ballard has a farm near Denver. He said we could live there.
Denver? That wouldn't be so bad.
Ella.
Well, wouldn't.
Well, you don't think I'd do a thing like this.
Why not?
Ella, they're asking me to commit a crime, don't you understand?
No, I don't.
Listen. The firm is bankrupt. You understand that, don't you?
What's so criminal about that?
Now, listen, please. They owe our creditors $400,000. I know they've got at least half of that in liquid assets. When they declare bankruptcy, the creditors will get that $200,000.
Well, they wanted to keep it for themselves. What's so wrong about that?
Oh, Ella, don't you see
that... What do they see? All they have to do to keep it is say that their cashier disappeared with the books and some of their money. The books are gone. Nobody can locate the assets. If the money's gone.
You do understand, don't you?
Well, sure, I'm no dope. $25,000 is a lot of money, Walter.
Ella.
Well, it is. I'm sick of them living the way we do, watching every penny, skipping, cutting corners, seeing other women in nice fur coats and in a lousy rag from 4 years ago.
Oh, but honey...
Oh, don't honey me. I'm sick of this whole setup. I don't know why they didn't quit long ago.
Ella... You wouldn't leave me. You wouldn't do that. Ella, I couldn't live without you. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
Ella, you wouldn't want me to.
I don't want you to do anything except what Ballard said. Think it over.
Think it over?
Yeah. You think over a lot of things, Walter. And if you want me around for long, you better come up with the right answer.
And for days, I thought and thought, the whole thing going round and round in my head. And Ella kept after me and after me. And one day she left the apartment and went to her sister's for a whole week and said she wasn't coming back till I made up my mind the right way.
I mean that, Walter. I'm not coming back till you decide.
Well, I made up my mind the right way.
Harry?
Yes?
I just talked with Walter Dunn. He's going to take that vacation.
Is Judge Porter in his office?
Yes, sir, he is. Who shall I say is calling?
Agent Bailey and Agent Shepard of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, he's expecting you, Mr. Shepard. Will you go right in? Hit that door there.
Thank you.
Come in. Oh, hello, Shep. Come right in.
Hello, Judge. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Oh, Judge, this is Agent Bailey who's going to work with me on this case.
Glad to know you, Mr. Bailey.
Judge.
Sit down, gentlemen, sit down. Well, you got here fast, Jeff.
Well, we were already in New York testifying on a case. Mr. Andrews phoned us to come right over and put ourselves at your disposal, Judge.
Good. I'll need plenty of help to untangle this mess. Has either of you ever heard of a firm named Ballard and Ferris?
No, me either.
Well, they're textile distributors with offices in a warehouse over on Front Street. Last week, they filed a petition in bankruptcy, and I called for a meeting with the creditors today. Here's their petition. You'll want to look it over.
Thank you.
It looked like a routine case till yesterday afternoon when Ballard phoned me all excited. His cashier, a man named Walter Donner, had disappeared. And all the company's books, cash, and negotiable securities that had been removed from the vault for our meeting today were taken from the office safe.
To what amount, Judge?
$193,000.
Mm. That's quite a haul. Are you sure this man Donner was responsible?
Well, he knew the combination of the safe and...
Judge Porter!
Yes?
Mr. Ballard and Mr. Ferris are here now, Judge.
Good. Send them right in.
Yes, sir.
Well, gentlemen, you can hear the details from Ballard and Ferris themselves. As soon as you've met them, we'll all get to work on this immediately.
Wanted by the FBI. Unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. Walter Donner, age 31, height 5 feet 10, hair brown, eyes brown.
Yes?
Coming into Denver, ma'am. Be there in half an hour.
Thanks, Porter. Walter, the suitcase.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, all right. I'll get this.
Walter, you've got to pull yourself together. Do you understand? We're coming into Denver.
Hell, we shouldn't have done it. There may be police waiting at the station.
Did you stop talking like a fool? You saw what it said in the newspaper. Ballard steered them off the track. They're looking down in Florida.
Ella, I wish we'd never done it. We're going to have to hide for the rest of our lives. We'll never be able to live like normal people.
Who wants to live like normal people? $72 a week in a crummy apartment in the Bronx.
We'll never get away with it, Ella. Never.
You just wait and see. 6 months from now, you'll be seeing a different tune. You may be shaky right now, but give this 6 months, and you'll be saying Ella was right. This is the way to live. Believe me, that's what you'll say. I know.
And Ella was right. In 6 months, we'd established ourselves in little towns outside of Denver, and people accepted us under our new names. I began to feel more secure, and I even got interested in taking care of the garden and fixing up our house.
See? Told you, didn't I?
Are you happy, Ella?
Sure. I'd be a lot happier if we belonged to the country club and had a maid like the Townsend.
After all, we're sort of on a fixed income, aren't we?
Maybe we can fix it even better if we're smart.
Hmm?
Or we can do lots of things if we're smart. Who knows?
What do you mean?
Nothing. But don't be surprised if we join the country club very soon. I've got a lovely idea that might make our fixed income very elastic from now on.
Mr. Ballard?
Yes?
There's a Mrs. Fairchild out here to see you.
Mrs. Fairchild.
From Denver, Colorado.
That's all right, miss. I told you he'd want to see me.
Hello, Mr. Ballard. How are you?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Fairchild. Yes, of course. Thank you, Miss Cummings.
Mr. Ballard doesn't want to be disturbed for the next half hour.
Well, that's right, Miss Cummings. I'll be busy for the next half hour.
Yes, sir.
Well, what are you doing here? I thought I told Walter.
Never to come back to New York. You did, Mr. Ballard.
You idiot. The police...
Oh, don't worry. I was careful. I came in on the plane this morning, and I'm going back tomorrow. Hey, this is a very ritzy office. You can call me Ella, Mr. Ballard. All my friends do.
What do you want, anyway?
Oh, goodness, don't bite my head off. Think I committed a crime or something.
What do you want, Mrs. Donner?
Well, I'll tell you, Mr. Ballard. Ever since Walter and I went west, I've been following the news in the textile magazines. Last month, I read how you and Mr. Ferris are back in business again, so thought I'd drop in and see how you were doing.
Our business doesn't concern you, Mrs. Donner.
Oh, but it does very much. After all, you might say that Walter and I are sort of stockholders, aren't we, Mr. Ballard?
What? Oh, so that's the angle, eh?
Beg pardon?
You're going to try to hold us up for more money.
Why, Mr. Ballard, what a way to put it.
Well, come on, isn't that it?
Well, after all, if it wasn't for Walter, you wouldn't be in this shiny new office, would you?
Mrs. Donner, you're not going to get away with this, believe me. You and Walter are in this thing just as deep as we are.
Walter is, not me, Mr. Ballard. I'm free as air. I've got a confession right here in my purse that says so.
A confession?
Mm-hmm. Of course, Walter didn't know he was signing it. He thought he was trying out a new fountain pen I bought him.
You lie.
Here it is, Mr. Ballard. You can see for yourself.
Wait.
And don't bother to tear it up. I have another one. Go ahead, read it. Tells everything you and Walter and Mr. Ferris did. And after you're through reading it, I think you and I can talk a little business, Mr. Ballard. Don't you?
Now back to the FBI in Peace and War, and tonight's story, The Criminal Proposition.
Mr. Donna.
Yes?
You're tired from talking. We can rest a while and perhaps have a...
No, I want to tell everything now. Put it behind.
All right.
It was a relief to tell someone. For 2 years, I kept it locked up inside, hidden away.
What happened after your wife's trip to New York, Mr. Donner? You didn't know about the trip, did you?
No, I just thought Ella had gone for a weekend visit with some friends. I didn't know a thing about it until the next check came.
The next check?
The monthly payment sent to us by Ferris and Ballard. It came as usual, very promptly, at the first of the month. That was when I found out the truth. The check was for double the amount we'd been receiving. And I was so surprised when I saw it, I went immediately to Ella to show her the mistake.
I know all about it, Walter, and it's no mistake. Sit down, darling. I got something to tell you.
Ella, you didn't.
Yes, Walter, I went to confession telling the whole story.
No.
Oh, what's the matter? No. I got his check for twice the money, didn't he?
Ella, you must be crazy doing a thing like that.
Yeah, sure. $1,600 a month crazy.
Ella, that money's going right back.
What?
I know Ed Ballard, and he's nobody to fool around with. The money's going back.
Oh, it is?
Yes. Oh, no, Ella, listen to me.
You listen to me. You saved the neck of those two four-flushers, and they're going to pay for it.
Now, Ella...
No, nothing. As long as I have this signed confession, we've got them coming and going.
But
let me say we're keeping the money for the wonderful, noble sacrifice you made. I'm not letting easy money go out the window. That's what I say.
We'll never get away with this, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you told me before. But we're going to cash in on that proposition they made you, Walter. $1,600 every month, not a single penny less.
And it wasn't until then that I realized how foolish I'd been to think that Ella was ever satisfied. The idea of money had taken hold of her, and nothing could stop her from wanting to get more and more and more. And the terrible part of it was that she was able to.
Miss Cummings?
Yes, Mr. Ballard.
On those monthly checks for Mr. Walter Fairchild, paid out in the amount of $2,000.
She was able to. And the raised checks kept coming in. And we joined the country club. And Ella had a maid like the Townsends.
The whole story of the embezzlement had died out of the newspapers, and naturally we thought we'd fooled you people completely. But no matter how successful things, still felt inside that one day they'll catch up with us.
Sit down, Chef, please. Miss Diamond.
Yes, Judge.
No interruptions until these gentlemen leave.
No, sir.
Sorry, Judge. We're getting that 1:30 train back to Washington.
Oh, if we could talk over,
it'll be on the jump. As soon as we got that information we wanted from you, we've got to run.
Well, I can give that to you fast. After your phone call, I checked back on Ballard and Ferris for you myself. Positions in bankruptcy twice before this last time.
Twice?
What? And before that, does that tie in with that story you were going to tell me?
It sure does.
Well, I'm listening.
All right, I'll give this to you fast. Have you ever heard of partners' recent expenditures at the rate of 50? Well, that's what we thought. And Ballard and Ferris are living just that way.
That's why we asked you to let us examine their recent books, Judge.
Uh-huh. And you came up with something?
I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, it's not very pleasant.
Oh?
The new firm has a salesman in Denver, Colorado, drawing a salary of $500 a week. Naturally, we ask ourselves, why would a textile house in New York require a salesman in Denver? And also, why would he be getting so much as $500 a week?
I see. You think this Denver salesman and Walter Donner might be one and the same?
Might and might not. We're only guessing.
Well, that is unpleasant. Well, gentlemen, you certainly did come up with something.
As I say, maybe. We've still got to find Walter Donner.
Anything I can do?
Well, Judge, you might give us a rain check for that lunch. If our guess turns out to be fact, chances are you'll be seeing a good deal of us. And...
I felt that the whole rotten business would finally catch up with us. But not Ella. She was sure it was going on forever. We were getting $2,000 a month, enough to satisfy anyone but her. She had to have more.
Miss Cummings?
Yes, Mr. Ballard.
Have Mr. Ferris come to my office right away, please. Tell him it's important.
Ella Dunner wants what?
$15,000. Cash. She says the house needs an overhaul.
Ed.
Yes, I know. That's the way it hit me.
I don't like it, Ed. I don't like it one bit.
Well, who does?
I told you we shouldn't have given in to her in the first place.
That's easy to say now.
$15,000 today, $20,000 tomorrow. Those two are going to beat us for the rest of our lives.
You're right, Harry. And that's why we're not going to give them one more dime.
Huh?
Not one dime. We're through giving in to her.
What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, come on. Harry, you're not that dumb.
Well, she's got the confession, hasn't she? As long as she's alive, we can't do a thing.
Hmm. As long as she's alive.
What? Hey, now, wait a minute.
Well, why not? Our only way out.
Ed, are you out of your mind?
I don't think so.
Well, you must be. We can't risk that.
What's risky about it? We don't risk a thing.
What?
Not one thing, Harry. The only one any risk is Monk Gatto. And he'll be well paid for it. I've hired him to do the job.
Ed!
Oh, now, look, Harry, there's nothing to it, really. You and me, we're here in New York, you see? Everybody knows we're here. We've got proof 24 hours a day. Well, now, Monk Gatto, he's not in New York. He's in Denver, Colorado, you see? He's taking a little vacation. And what do you know if he doesn't run into our old friends, Walter and Ella?
No, Ed, we can't do it.
No?
No. Ed, for heaven's sake.
Oh, what's the matter with you? You'd rather have them squeeze us for the rest of our lives?
No.
Well, then use your bean. This is their tie, I tell you. As far as the law is concerned, those two are missing persons. All we do is make sure they never get found.
I know,
but... Look, Harry, I don't like it any more than you, but we can't let them hold that confession over us, and there are no two ways about it. You just leave it to Monk Gatto. He knows how to handle it. Yes?
You Walter Fairchild?
That's right.
Your wife here with you, Walter?
Why, yes.
Where's it, dear?
Well, I don't know. Well,
look, Walter, get your car out of the garage. The both of you are coming along with me.
What?
Go with you?
What for?
A little financial discussion, that's what. Step on it.
Look, we're not going any place.
Nah. Look, friend, when Monk Gatto tells you to do something, it's real healthy to do it. Now get your car out of the garage. You're coming with me.
I was frightened, Tony. But there was nothing to do except what he said. I got the car out of the garage and pulled it round to the front of the house.
That's right, Walter. You drive. Sister, you hop in next to him. I'll be in the back.
At first, I thought it was an ordinary holdup. But it didn't take long to see it couldn't be that. This was something special, something dreamed up by Ballard and Ferris. At least that's what I thought. I couldn't be sure.
Take this next right turn, friend, and no funny business.
I took the turn, and then I was sure. The road led away from town through mostly deserted country. This was Ballard and Ferris, all right. This is what I've been afraid of all along. We weren't going to get away with it after all. The business was starting to catch up with us.
Okay, friend, that's nice driving so far. Keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
There's a village just half a mile up the road. Take a left at the stoplight, then drive straight on ahead.
Yeah, okay.
And, friend.
Yeah?
Keep your hands on that wheel all the way.
Well, of course, I...
Walter!
Feel something cold on your neck, Walter? That's what the movie boys call a rod.
Mister...
That goes for you, too, sister. Either one of you makes a wrong move, this thing goes right through his brains.
Look, mister, if it's money you want...
Never mind the gab, sister.
But we...
Not money, Ella. This is not.
What?
It's not money. I'm to guess.
What are you talking about?
Ella, use your head.
What?
I said we're going to get away with it. I said those two were nobody to fool around with.
Hey, you don't mean...
Keep your hands off of him, sister.
What?
I'm right on him, Monk. This isn't for money.
Just you keep driving.
It isn't, is it? You were sent here by somebody.
I said, never mind the gab. Now, shut up. There's the stoplight. Slow down.
You were sent here by somebody. And,
friend, I told you to shut up. Now, slow down. You understand?
Yeah. Now, I understand all right.
Let's slow down.
I understand. I understand fine. It was our only chance, Ella. They got a police car back
okay,
there.
Okay, friend, you asked for it. If you don't stop, I shoot.
Go ahead, shoot. I'm only doing 60. One yard on the wheel.
I'm coming to three. Why?
It's our only chance, Ella. He was going to shoot us, and he was hired by Ed Ballard. They were going to get rid of it.
Okay, Walter, I... What's that?
The police car, Mom. Shoot. Go ahead.
You bet I'll shoot. I warned you.
You were going to get rid of it. Why, Mom? Ballard and Ferris hired
you. One.
They hired you. They'd be in the clear with us, out of the
way.
No more chances, and no more worrying about confession.
Hey,
it's our only chance, Tom. One
Monk Gatto were killed instantly in the crash. And when the police drew up to the car, they found the wildly hysterical Walter Donner. He was taken back to the local hospital, where he subsequently provided the confession which put Harry Ferris and Edward Ballard behind bars for 10 years each. Donner himself, though aiding his position considerably by the confession, nevertheless went to prison for a 3-year term.
Been listening to FBI in Peace and War. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.